Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and thank you for staying with us here on 959 WATD. Of course, we're heard worldwide on the net at www.959wATD.com. Got a nice little, you know, political conversation here, as though that hasn't been kind of the theme to this week's show. As earlier on, we had Josh Cutler on, state rep candidate. Prior to this segment, we had Joe McDonald, who is the sheriff in Plymouth County. We have a couple of friends from the city of Champions, Brockton. We have counselor at large, Wynn Farwell. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
You got it. And community activist and also a previous candidate for office in the city of Brockton, Susan DeCastro.
Hi, Kevin.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you.
And the idea of the conversation, we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We're going to talk about what's going on, what we're seeing. We're less than 60 days until the big general election, and we've yet to see any debates between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump that's on the presidential level. But, you know, we've seen leading up to this, there's been a lot of rhetoric, and we, you know, the things that you hear a candidate like Donald Trump say and do, you scratch your head. But the conversation, people look at it and go, oh, how can that happen on that level? When in fact, you know what, it happens on all levels. And we're going to get into some of the things that are going on in the city of Brockton. And we're a year out from the political process in the city of Champions, as both the counselor and Susan will attest to that. You know what, when it comes to, you know, power, when it comes to, you know, if you're doing your job, people will do different things to try to bring you down a peg or two. We'll first kind of talk a little bit about what we're watching here in the presidential race, if you will. We'll start, ladies, first with Susan. What's your take as to what's going on the presidential level between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? And a guy like Donald Trump, who can be bombastic at times with his opinions.
I care about the issues. We do truly live in the greatest country in the world, but we have issues like every country. And I'm so concerned that the issues that we have and these people's proposals to resolve or address these issues, mm-hmm. it's being lost in the entertainment value of insults, snarky comments, and misleading comments, personal attacks.
Susan, you're fired.
Yes, something like that.
Yes,
and you know she's right on target, because when someone criticizes Trump, he immediately says, "Well, Hillary does this." If Hillary is criticized, she'll say, "Well, you know, let's look at Trump, and he hasn't released his tax returns." And you know, there's an old expression, "Where's the beef?" And I have to tell you, up until now, where's the beef in this national election? I mean, who talks about whether we're really prepared to prevent another 9/11? Who really talks about what are we going to do for job creation and the middle class? What are we going to do to maybe make government more effective and eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse? And I think we're turning people off. I mean, I really do. I think the public has just had it with politicians. And that's not good, because the democracy thrives when people run for office, they stand up and they talk about what they think should be done, what are the issues, and they offer solutions. And if we're not going to do that, then I think at some point people are just going to tune us out.
You would think with a country of, what are we, 300, 350 million, that we could find more, that we could find somebody in our population who is a leader who could, you know, help better us in the next 4 years, that would be nominated by either of these two major parties. What do you think, Susan?
It's just amazing that we have the candidates that we have. However, I would say, honestly, I think Hillary Clinton is very qualified to be president. How unfortunate that she has issues, that are of the likes of scandal that people keep bringing up. I will say this, I've been watching politics now for a long time. Mm-hmm. Every presidential candidate has issues.
Yeah, everybody's got a skeleton in their closet.
Certainly they do.
Yeah, I mean, if we start eliminating people who have any baggage, then we could probably eliminate three-quarters of Congress and even past presidents who are very famous in history carried baggage. But I think what's happened, Kevin, is that politics has become, as they say, a reality show instead of a real show. Mm. And it should be real. It should present the issues, and people should come up with concrete suggestions and positions, and then let the people judge, all right, I'm for this candidate because of his or her positions, or I'm for the other candidate. And we've got to get away from trying to entertain when, in fact, I think campaigns are supposed to inform people about issues and information and positions.
Do you feel that that's something, when you look at what's going on the national level, has that trickled down to lower levels of government? Can we remember, if it's on the state level or the county level, we'll get to the city level in just a moment, but have we seen it on any level, or is there any fear? I know I have it within me, with either you two, that this could be something that could become a trend in other lower levels of government.
I believe it's at every level of government. You see it not just in Massachusetts, you see it across the country. Mm. Little snippets that come up on NPR and on Fox News, sure, about things that happen in different regions of the country. Everyone is falling prey to this gossipy stuff.
Yeah, and I remember when Senator Brady was running for office, my wife and I would get mailings at home, and you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you know Mike Brady, there's no more down-to-earth guy. Doesn't get overly impressed with himself. But the flyers that came out about him, the negative comments about him, you would have thought that he was the worst possible person to vote for if you knew nothing about him. And I'm afraid negativity sells in the political world, and it's really a shame.
Well, we know it sells newspapers.
It does sell newspapers, and you know what? It can light up a social media group as well. And this is my segue, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen who are paying attention at home, and my opportunity to talk a little bit about, because both of you, both you, Susan, and both you, Counselor, have been victim to such people who have, because you've done your jobs or because you are looking to better your community, that there have been attacks levied upon you, if not on social media, but people even going out and setting up a website.
Well, that's true. And I you know, having been away from Brockton politics for 20 years, I think my shock is probably more profound than Susan, who has been active, was on the planning board in Brockton. But the notion of someone taking your name and setting up a website in your name for the sole purpose of trying to either embarrass, harass, or intimidate you so that you won't ask questions, so that you won't do your work as a counselor at large, I just think it's unheard of. And I would hope it wouldn't go on in any community covered by WATD. People who run for selectmen should not have their name taken from them and a website set up. If you don't like a position that a elected official or political person takes, then at least have the courage to stand up and say, I disagree with this person, I think they're wrong, here's why I think they're wrong, and here's what I would do differently. But don't cowardly hide behind, you know, a phony website and put information out there in the hopes that somehow, I guess, you will silence people. And that's what a particular power group in the city seems to thrive on. They did it to Susan, which I only found out about recently, and she can describe it, and they've done it to others.
Susan?
That's right. I was active in the city in public groups, and also I served 5 years on the planning board. And I wasn't afraid to take a position on projects and on issues, and I prepared very well for meetings. And as a result, I was not as popular as people would have liked. So last year I ran for counselor at large, my first political four-way, something I never thought I'd ever do. Mm. And I did well in the primary, and I was coming into the general, and my competition with Mr. Farwell, I thought, for this counselor at large open seat. And on the Sunday before the general election last year, one of my sons discovered a Facebook page that was insulting and disparaging and just kind of malicious against me. They photoshopped my face onto a convict's mugshot. They cut and pasted pieces of a video that I that was made of me speaking to voters and made me sound like an idiot. It had been up, we estimated, for 6 days, and in those 6 days, 500 people saw it. Mm. Of course, we got to see the people who had liked it and had passed it around and all that, and it was some interesting, familiar names around the Brockton political scene. And we were flummoxed. We didn't know what to do, but my sons knew what to do. A complaint was filed with Facebook, and within hours, Facebook determined it was personal harassment, and they took it down. I will always wonder what kind of a role it played in my election. By the way, I did very, very well. I missed the seat by only 116 votes.
I have to ask this, you both being veterans of city politics. The councilor aptly brought up you being, and you did as well, Susan, being somebody who was on the planning board. You've been on in various groups and in community circles, a councilor, prior school committee, and former mayor. Can either of you think of a time prior to this when you're running for campaign that things, you know, have been, you look at it, there's more of a cowardice to what's being done on social media, and from what some people will say is there's kind of a thuggery going on when it comes to politics and getting people to bend their will for a particular issue instead of wanting to debate the issue openly and accept what the people's will is. It's a matter of trying to force the issue. We'll start with you, Counselor.
Well, and again, because I'm coming at it after a period of absence, my sense of observing things in the city now is that there is a group that doesn't want any disagreement or dissension. They want you to rubber stamp whatever they want. They don't want you to debate or bring up issues that could the least bit be embarrassing to them or affect, you know, politics in the future. And so they've turned social media into anti-social media. And this is where I think the public has to weigh in on it. And I certainly hope they'll weigh in on it after the national election, but certainly the people in Brockton, in whom I put my trust, I think they're pretty smart, and I think they can see through this nonsense. But they need to reject this, and they need to tell other candidates who they know are linked to this or other officials in the city who are linked to this, knock it off. Tell me what you're going to do for the community. How are you going to improve the life of my family? How are you going to improve the schools? Be issues oriented. And I think only if the public rises up and doesn't fall trapped to the entertainment value of this foolishness,
right,
will we put it aside.
Susan?
I was raised in a time when we were encouraged to think about what was going on, you know, the bumper sticker, question authority. And I've raised my children that way, and to be aware of what's going on. What I see are people who, in this community, if you're either for them or against them, but if you disagree with them, you're against them, and they want to destroy you. They want to do everything that they can to cast you in a bad light. It's not about what your qualifications are or your talents or your willingness to serve. It's about, well, but what side of this are you on? Someone commented to a friend of mine on Inauguration Day last year that I had to go because I wasn't business friendly. Well, I am business friendly, but I'm not monkey business friendly.
And I want to throw this in there on top of what both of you have shared about your experiences in dealing with this. A gentleman who was supposed to join us this evening to kind of share in this conversation, Jacob Tagger, who was a mayoral candidate back a year ago. He did not make it through the preliminary, but during his time of campaigning, and Jacob shared this with me, and he's shared it on social media, but there were certain individuals who were out there campaigning who threatened that if he did not, in fact, step out of the campaign, or if it was, you know, they basically wanted to eliminate him, and they threatened they were going to put pictures of his wife that she did not have any clothing on. Jacob was quick to say, and I hope if Jacob is listening, he will give me a blessing for the way I'm saying this. The way Jacob said is, my wife is beautiful. Feel free to put it up because there's no shame. And whether it was basically, you know, he was trying to double down in, a little poker going on there or not. But him to share that, you know, he was threatened with, you know, we're gonna put up unflattering pictures of your spouse as a way to get him to bow out of a political race or for him to change his views politically, it's just interesting. And that's why I thought I wanted to have the three of you in, because you've all experienced this at certain levels, and get your take on, here we are, we're a year out, and are we going to see things get even dirtier come next summer? Because that's when things will start ramping up, is towards the end of spring, at the beginning of summer, when people are going to be jockeying into place for the re-election or somebody who's going to want to run for an office.
Oh, I don't think we've seen the end of it at all. And I will tell you a conversation I shared with the mayor, and I said to them, if I were in the mayor's office and one or more of my appointees took someone else's name, particularly the name of a sitting city councilor, and created a phony website to try to intimidate, harass, or embarrass that person, I would call them into the office and I would say, I don't want you part of my administration. Please submit your resignation. Now, we're talking about a month has gone by. I have no idea what the mayor's going to do, if he's going to do anything. But if you condone something, if you allow it to go on, if you just kind of wink and nod at it, I'm not sure there's any deterrent for stopping that kind of behavior.
Susan?
Unless you agree with us. And if so, then why would you want that person off?
And it bodes to say is, I don't, if I was somebody who's holding an office and knew that somebody, and this is just me, it's my opinion, and I'm not speaking on either side of the issue, but knowing that this could be something that could have, you know, the last thing you want to do is have something that during your past term is something that becomes a major campaign issue, is that you had somebody who you appointed who was openly, you know, campaigning or trying to find ways to, you know,
undermine.
You know, to try to discredit somebody. And any idea, has the individual said why they put forth the unflattering, the attack website, counselor?
Well, if, and I assume the Enterprise article was accurate, I haven't spoken to either of the people, but the local newspaper reported that he was angry that I had said to a group of people when I ran for office that I certainly looked forward to cooperating and supporting the mayor and seeing the city move forward. And he felt that because I had had really only three major disagreements with the mayor, I disagreed with filling a $90,000 civilian position at the police department. I disagreed with over $1 million in overtime. I wanted to hold back $250,000 to make sure it was being spent properly. Other than that, I have supported all of his appointees, including the people who allegedly were involved in this. So it's kind of puzzling to think that somehow something's been done that would rise to this level of maliciousness. I just don't get it.
Susan, your thoughts?
Well, it's like a Donald Trump move, isn't it?
Well, you know, Susan, and I hope all of the people that listen to this in Brockton, I really hope that once they hear about your experience and mine and Jacob's, and I understand there are actually others that maybe they'll come on this program at a later time, I hope it's rejected, because you and I both live in a community far better than that.
We do. I love this community. I've lived here over 25 years. You know, there was a time when I knew quite a lot about the law of libel and slander. And one thing that is still good law is that when you put yourself out there running for office, you become a public figure, and so you're a fairer game for people to say things about you, to print things about you. But that doesn't mean they get to print lies or they get to slander you, you know, slime, such as what you and I have experienced when. The question is, what is your remedy? What do you do about it? Like, it just seems like common sense and good taste is going out the window.
And you know, the irony, Kevin and Susan, is that it actually isn't about us. Democracy exists. This republic exists because people are willing to run for office. They're willing to stand up and say, here are my qualifications, here are the issues, and we ask the voters to be involved and participate.
I'm willing to serve, that's right.
Yeah, if you want to kill democracy, there is no better way than engage in this foolishness to turn off voters, to dissuade people from running for office, to tell people inadvertently or overtly, if you put your name out there and we disagree with you, we're going to destroy you and your family's going to suffer. Your children are going to have to go to school and ask, why was this website in existence? It really is a bigger issue. And I think if we turn off the public to the point where they don't listen to candidates and they don't take an active participation in what's going on, I just don't see a very bright future. I really don't.
I believe 9/11 played a role in all of it. 9/11 exposed the fear that many people had and made us realize that government can't keep us safe. And I think things changed after that.
Follow-up, counsel?
I agree. And by the way, I said there were three issues with which I disagreed with the mayor, really the only three substantive ones. The other one was his security detail, having a police officer drive him around. And, you know, of all the people in government, I think Paul Studensky and I would probably be the ones most at risk, because we made arrests, we testified in court, and we sent people to prison. And I think that's why perhaps I was so passionate about calling the mayor on the carpet for spending money and having a driver. I just don't see it. I mean, we're not Boston. We're not Los Angeles. We're not New York. And I really think that has to be the other issue, is Brockton should be run like Brockton for the benefit of the residents and not try to morph it into something more than it is and adopt policies in other larger cities which, frankly, are not quite applicable in Brockton as yet.
I also want to make kind of going from what we, you know, what we're seeing politically on social media, what's being done, and politically in that local community, Brockton is a community of many cultures. It would be safe to say that the behavior that we've been seeing over the past year to 2 years is actually even transcending the different cultures that live within it, and their behavior is starting to show through as well, that with you have certain groups, from what I understand, that I have seen on social media, that there are certain ethnic groups that have actually tried to have a power move that are part of this group too. Am I wrong?
Well, I do think the mayor has a large following within a specific community, and that's okay. But the one thing you have to remember in public life is everybody needs to be included. Everybody needs to be included, right, in terms of offering jobs. Everyone has to be included in neighborhood improvements and economic development. And I think the mark of a great leader is to take all of those different groups with different backgrounds and interests and cultures and practices and to bring them together and say, okay, what do we want the city to look like? And please participate and help me get it to where we want it to be.
And there are issues that straddle the different ethnic groups, safety, security, you know, city services, education, and you know, everyone is concerned about these issues, and we owe it to everyone to come together and make the city the best that we can, and not to play groups against each other.
What needs to be done next year when we're talking about city elections? What needs to be done in order to bring real change and to change this culture? I mean, is it a matter of getting fresh new candidates out there to run for office and get involved and realize what's going on?
Well, I think it's always important to have people step up and run for office. But I also think it's important for the public to hold all of the candidates, all of the incumbents,
culpable
and accountable for talking about the important issues and what needs to be done, and for listening to the important issues from the public and then gearing your campaign and your future work in the city towards addressing those issues. I think the thing we forget is that it should be bottom up instead of top down types of discussions, and we're having a council at large meetings, the four of us, because you can't show up just at election time and tell people you want to listen to them. That's so disingenuous. So we're trying to do it on a quarterly basis, and I think those of us in public life really need to be sensitive to what the public needs to have done, what are their recommendations, what are their concerns, criticisms, and then we translate that into action plans.
Susan, your thoughts?
I think our community deserves more from some of our elected representatives than what we're getting. I think we need to take a hard look at what people are really doing for us, who returns phone calls, who shows up at community events, who is following through on representations that they made. Every community needs to look at how long their elected officials are in and whether it's time to change horses. I also think that if more people with talent ran, I don't care what you look like, I think we need to get more of our population stepping forward to run for office who are qualified, who are willing to do the work. And there's a lot of work to be done in Brockton, but Brockton has great opportunity in it with the right people in charge.
Anything you want to say in closing, Counselor?
Well, just that for those listening and who may, I hope, not come away this evening with a negative impression of Brockton, there is a lot going on that's right. I mean, we've got a world-class school system. We've got urban renewal plan downtown that's ongoing. We are, to the mayor's credit, increasing public safety services. And by the way, let me say there have been things posted on social media about the mayor that I think are extremely derogatory and have no place in political campaigns. He's been called a crook. He's been called a bad father. He's had family members mentioned. So I defend the mayor in that. He shouldn't be involved in this either. You got a beef with the mayor? Stand up and run, or stand up in a public forum, ask him about it, and then have him discuss it. So what we've said today really covers all elected officials and candidates in every community. But getting back to Brockton, it really is a wonderful community, a lot of positive going on, and I hope people in the WATD listening area realize that we're advocates for the city. We will offer criticisms from time to time, as Susan and I have today, but we're advocates for a very wonderful community, different cultures, different backgrounds, but everybody is pulling together and working toward a brighter future.
Yeah, we've been speaking with Susan DeCastro, who is a community activist, and the voice you just heard is a counselor at large in Brockton, Wynn Falwell. Well, I want to thank both of you for being on with me this evening and talking about, not only talking, I mean, looking at things from a couple of different vantage points, but also discussing the real issues when it comes to politics, no matter what level.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for the opportunity, Kevin.
You got it. We are going to step aside just for a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk a little comedy here on Monday Night Talk, heard only on 959 WATD. Don't go anywhere.